The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. Learn how you can get cheer to last all year with the cash rewards card at NavyFederal.org.
Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. We've got a great guest for you guys, but we like to kick things off with a Patreon question of the day. And today's question, what weapon would you choose in a zombie apocalypse? Mark, we'll let you go first.
I get just one?
One to start, but I'd like to hear your options.
I mean, as a combat controller, not a weapons guy. I mean, you need a. I'll take a Glock 45 and an M4, an AR. Keep it simple.
Okay, all right. First of all, are we talking like what we actually have access to, or can we go with like Iron Man's new suit? And technically, we have one of those.
Technically, that's how it exists. We just don't have access just yet. Somebody that's listening to this show has access. Bring it on.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to grab that. I'm gonna have to grab the lightsaber, the freaking Islid and the Mipley, and then have one of the AC-130s overhead just throwing bombs down, right? Just lightsabering the mess out of them. That was the first thing that popped into my head. What he says, good answer. But I mean, at our arsenal,
yeah,
they want them angels in the air flying, and you just have to point, just swing that sucker around and drop wrath of God.
I'm thinking something like a tank or a bulldozer, something you can just like plow through, just mow them down.
See, I'm thinking practicality, something that you don't need ammo for, something that you can reuse over and over, like a sword, like that.
Like water?
Water.
Just flood it down.
Flood it down. Flood it down. Flood with alligators?
Yeah. Flood them down and burn them out.
Oh, fire. We talked about fire before. Like, fire is one of those tools that is just universally.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the strongest weapons.
A little spark. Oh, certainly.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for the Patreon question. Hey, guys, if you're not joined our Patreon yet, check it out. Patreon.com/TeamNeverQuit. Get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content. We do some YouTube lives. We do some Patreon lives exclusively just for you guys, our Patreon community. So make sure you check that out. We've got an incredible guest in store for you guys. Mark Lauren is the internationally recognized expert in bodyweight training and the author of the best-selling book, Strong and Lean. He's a veteran and former physical trainer of nearly 1,000 elite special operation warriors, including SEALs, Rangers, Green Berets, Force Recon teams, and Air Force Commandos. Mark, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here and a real honor.
All right. One of the things, there's a lot of things that get overlooked in our community. Everyone can look at us now, and I didn't even know this happened, because we lose sight of that once we get to the other side and you've kind of developed yourself. Even though it's a slow process for us, it takes a lifetime. Even when you turn back to teach it to the kids, when the younger ones, they're always like, hey, I need this right now. I want this right now. And you're like, hey, man, it takes a little bit of time. And the most important thing that we do in our communities is what we do to our bodies, and how well we condition them and we stay in shape. We feed the mind, body, and the spirit. That is an integral part, not only to live life, but to live the way we do. So, Mark, thanks for coming on here, because this is what we're going to get into. This is what your specialty is. I mean, you've been training us for a long time. Congratulations on your book. We'll get into that as well. But I like to back it up, like where you come from. A lot of us, most of us don't start like this. We start on the other side of the spectrum. We had to get our asses kicked for a long time just to kind of break that shell, break us out of that. And if you don't mind, man, if we can get into that, just tell us where you come from.
I mean, yeah, so I'm 45 now. I've been training, like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. And I think a lot of times people expect something to happen within the next couple of months. But I mean, I can honestly say it's been decades of training, and it takes years of training. So I started with fitness back when I was, I mean, even when I was 9 years old, I was doing push-ups and sit-ups next to my bed and things like that. And I got up to over 600 sit-ups, basically, where I could do like indefinite sit-ups, and just doing a bunch of push-ups. Once I hit puberty, I got more serious, basically just for the same reason as everybody else. I just wanted to look better. I was like a skinny, scrawny kid, and I was self-conscious about the ladies and things like that. So I just started training really hard as a teenager, and wrestling, bodybuilding.
So what?
Did some body.
If you don't mind, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop you, but we're the same age. So our generation is different. Like, what sparked you to do that? I know the same thing. Our movies, everything in our culture that we grew up around kind of led us in that path. I felt like, I mean,
yeah,
go ahead.
I grew up playing with, I mean, so I lived in Germany until I was nine, where my mother's German. And I grew up with He-Man.
Yeah, right.
And right when, I mean, so those were all like bodybuilding dolls, basically. And then when I came to the United States, it was G.I. Joe's.
That's right.
Yeah, it was just
even our toys look badass. They all have muscles everywhere. And I thought that's what we were, I mean, turns out our whole generation looks like that. Not only the military, hell, the civilians work out harder than we do, just trying to emulate what we did. Sometimes I'll run across some civilians and they're like, hey, I do this, 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 and this. If you can just teach me what you did so I can get as hard as you. I'm like, hey, look here, brother, man, what you just told me was pretty significant. I mean, some of them get after it.
Well, I think one of the things in the military too is you're doing a lot, but you're doing things that are not on your terms.
Well, there's no bigger truth than that, right there, man.
That makes a big difference. Like putting together your own schedule and having somebody else put it together is just different.
You know? Yeah, no, that's right. That's a great way to say that. I'm sorry, man, but that is an absolute great way to, like, you don't have a damn choice. Your ass,
right?
It's just what it is.
And they're gonna find all the things that you hate most.
Oh man. Yeah, you've been in there before. You're definitely, we're from the same crew.
So as an instructor, they're like, I put together good exercise programs to get the best results, and how do we, you know, get more guys through and all this kind of stuff. And, but I mean, in the end, you still have a big part in who gets to end up on a team and who doesn't.
Okay.
A big, like, it's important that we like you. So, I don't know. So,
okay. That's important. And the other day I was sitting at my kid's basketball game and watching the coach yell at all the kids. And I remember thinking, there's that difference. And this is why discipline's so important, I think. Because if you teach your kid discipline and respect, yeah, that respect part, because respect comes with discipline, then you can send him out and he can learn from anybody. Because a human being will automatically notice that.
Absolutely.
But if you leave that part out and try to teach them everything else, then they won't be able to do anything.
It's the foundation for everything else.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you on that one too, man.
I mean, my whole thing about fitness and life in general, my whole spiel really is it's about fundamentals. It's about basics. It's because the basics are the things that get universally used. Like, they're always getting used, and everything is built on them. Everything depends on it. And I would say characteristics like respect and discipline. That's like what your parents need to teach you in the very beginning to get you.
Yeah, how far that get? I mean, you said it. Hey, man, look, bottom line is, I don't care what program we're in. If you piss off your instructor, they don't freaking like you. I mean, as opposed to if you do have discipline and you're just, you know, you're trying your ass off, but you're still respectful, then that opens a door for you. They're like, hey, man, this guy is trainable and this, that, and the other. But if you're a dick on top of not being able to get something done, oh no, that ain't gonna work.
Absolutely. And it comes through immediately. And some guys kind of have to learn that once they get there. Some do, some don't. And if you don't, then, you know.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard, especially if you got guys like us teaching you.
Yeah, we're gonna find a way to get you out of here.
And people, that's another thing. It's like, you don't understand. There's ways to mess with it. You can't even put in your head.
Right. And team pressure is a big part of that. I mean, because it's not an individual failing. It's a team always failing and succeeding together. So, I mean, Yeah.
That's a great way to say that too, because when you're growing, when we're working out, and when you're suffering in there as a team, a lot of times you don't even realize how strong you're getting because you're looking at everybody else and you're watching them get strong, thinking you're getting left behind. But in reality, that's not what's going down. Man, if you're still operating with them at a level and the teachers and the instructors are keeping you, it doesn't matter how bad you're getting your ass kicked. If you keep going up the next day and they keep kicking your ass, then you're in the right spot. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think, I mean, that, I guess that goes back to discipline. And I mean, at that point, it's not just like discipline about the, like the individual doing his own thing. It's the discipline of doing, or everybody doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And being uniform.
How about that?
Right. Like, especially when it really starts to hurt and really starts to suck. But you know what? Like if we catch, you're trying to do 20 flutter kicks together as a team, and there's one guy not sounding off, one guy bending his legs, the whole team stops and you get to start over.
Yeah.
So it's
up together, yeah. Down together. That's what I would always, growing up, one of the guys who taught me, he was like, up together, down together, live together, die together. You're not a team, start over. And here's the deal is if you want to become a team, you got to suffer with each other. You want to see what somebody looks like when they get pissed, especially right. If they get pissed at you. Not get mad at the situation while you're standing there with them, because that you, I mean, all of those will generate a different emotion out of somebody. And if you want to see what that's all about, get into the working out with them, or get into a sport or something.
I think real character does not reveal itself when everything is great. Like everybody's cool and nice when there's no hardship. I mean, it's really like when life really starts to suck that you see people's true colors. And I think that's like what selection is largely about. Like, we want to see what you're about and your ability to adapt and your ability to make sacrifices for the team.
That's a good way to say it. It's like almost like squeezing it.
Really, because like, how strong are you really as an individual? Real strength comes like when you can put together a good team and kind of set aside your own wants and desires for the team's goals.
Oh yeah. You said that. That's perfect the way you said it. It's almost like life will, if you want to see what that sucker's really made, like I see the outside chassis, but I want to know what the motor looks like. Then you squeeze it with life and it comes out and like, there it is right there. That's what that looks like when they get pressured. And pressure can also mold it and change it, especially if everyone around you. Like if you get hit and go down and someone tells you that you're doing bad and you're a turd and all that, then you'll probably think that. But if you get hit and come back up, especially if the one hits you said, hey, man, you're doing better, keep going. Then that it changes everything.
It does change everything, and I think it's also one of those situations where you're constantly facing failure. You know, we're like constantly put in situations where, I mean, you're not necessarily quitting because you only get to fail, you only get to mess that up once, and then done.
Oh yeah,
unless you go through the other course
one time. That's it.
Yeah, but I mean it. Essentially, I guess, like you're constantly put in situations where you're screwing things up and failing, and you're just brushing yourself off and doing it again.
It's almost just like our crew, like our section of whatever we're made of, like there's an absolute part of life that's constant failure, beat down and suck. And you got to have somebody in it all the time, or it will just metastasize into the community. So with us, we step into it, and every day you're going to get your ass kicked. Like, that's going to happen. So we just stopped thinking about it. It's like, hey, man, everybody hates us anyways, no matter how hard we try. I know life's a kick in the face. Well, then you just get good at it. You're like, hey, this is what we have to do. This is our deal. How about that?
I mean, I think it's a powerful lesson. I mean, I can honestly say that whatever success I've had in the civilian community, it's all built on, I would say, repetitive failures for the most part. I know, I guess it's not always like that, but, I think success is typically built on failures. You know, it's not always that way, but it's a good thing to kind of, to somewhat be okay with. You just brush yourself off and you do it again.
Yeah. It's like kicking the wrapping paper off of success, that failure. I mean, it's just you gotta go, you're going to pull something out of it. If it's worth going in there.
It's not a failure until you've given up. Is kind of how I look at it.
Yeah,
and with each sort of iteration, and again, it's not really truly a failure, but let's say a setback or something like that. That's where you learn and you adapt and eventually hopefully overcome.
Well, I mean, think about how we're raised. Every test we take when we're in school, when you fail it, I mean, they actually fail you. When as soon as they tell you what the answer is, you know it. I mean, like at that moment, you know it. So, I mean, you actually learn something. And when we're going through phase training, I mean, when I failed runs, I mean, we failed everything. But it's just kind of like, All right, well, if you know that's the case and you still show back up, and then there's not a moment where you take something away like you're a winner. You know, that's just, hey, man, it's like going back and overlooking the third grade. It's like, you don't carry. We're through that. Guys like us don't ever look back on those beatdown days and go, hey, you remember that day we got our ass whipped so bad? Let's think about that. Like, no, I remember what I learned from it, though. But I got time for all that other mess because there's something else coming.
Yeah. I would actually say, too, though, that a lot of times the guys that aren't really super physically strong in training end up becoming some of the better operators.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every once in a while you get. I mean, who really excelled in training with all like the PT and all that? I think like water polo players every once in a while, sometimes wrestler, but wrestlers would do really well. But I would say like my best students, and I've said it often, were typically like farm boys.
Yeah.
That grew up problem solving, doing real work. They typically come from, you know, pretty united families, and they weren't usually like great at push-ups and things like that, because why would you do push-ups on a farm? But you're doing real work. They were the best, I think.
Those guys that you see in the class that aren't at the top or the bottom, they're getting beat down. They're not. Something else is getting taught. They're learning something else. If they're in that program going through it and they're struggling, something else is getting taught. I mean, in a struggle, that always happens, whether it's mental, the physical part, they're learning. And it's that ability to switch that up, because the guys who come in with the physical ability, sometimes they suffer on some obstacles that the other guys wouldn't, and vice versa. That's why they put us all together.
Yeah.
How far is, I mean, because when you and I started, I remember push-ups, pull-ups, and sit-ups. I mean, we had Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone. I mean, you know, across the board, those guys were ripped up. We didn't have the internet. I mean, kind of went down to the gym, the school gym. It was nothing but steel in there. I mean, there wasn't Nautilus and all that. The band. I mean, that didn't even CrossFit didn't exist. Right. Just squat rack and a bench press.
We were growing up. Yeah, I mean, we grew up without the internet, like you said. I mean, my first book was Arnold Schwarzenegger Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. Oh, that my parents.
Do you still have that?
I don't,
bro. That was the first one. That was the first book. My mother brought that. I'll never forget that. We were watching Commando, and that book came out, Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. I have looked for that thing. I tried to order. I mean, bro.
Oh, it's hard to find now? It's a classic.
Well, we had that same book. Got me too, man.
Yeah. I mean, so I got a weight set and Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I started lifting weights. So it started out with bodyweight exercise, like push-ups, sit-ups, etc. Then I had that book. And then I basically transitioned to like all these bodybuilding magazines, like Muscle and Fitness. And, I think Weider had a magazine but the information in those magazines was useless. I mean, I could have probably filled my entire room from floor to ceiling with those magazines. And I could probably count on one hand the number of like useful articles I read, which, I mean, if you compare that to what people have now in terms of access to information. It was just a totally different time for fitness and training.
Talk about that. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Completely. I completely agree with you on that one. I mean, it's transformed. You can't walk into the gym now, everyone, because I do this every year. I'll break it down for you. They know, I mean, everything. They study the body, what works with what individual. Like when we were kids, it's like, everybody get in there and do this. Do that one thing. It'll get you there. Now they break it down to each individual and train up. So,
I mean, there's definitely been a real evolution of fitness and how to approach things. I mean, so for me, I was wrestling, I was doing bodybuilding, I was lifting weights, I was doing bodyweight exercise, and then I got into the special ops community as a combat controller. And one of the things that like always surprised me, and it continued to kind of surprise me throughout my 20s, was like how all my strength training and exercising a lot of times, and this is like, I'm kind of mentioning this now because it's one of the main things that I focus on, is that how the performance from all that like you know, working out, a lot of times it didn't really translate to vastly improved performance with real sports or real life stuff.
Sure. Probably did the opposite for us.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. What you and I were doing back in the day probably did the opposite for what we needed.
Well, absolutely. A lot of times I would have to totally unlearn things like the constant, doing heavy squats where you're constantly in external hip rotation, you're benching heavy. So you're like your posture's all weird. Your shoulders are rolled forward, et cetera. So that was like one of the things that I realized when I first got into the military. And then once I was on a team, it was kind of up to you to stay in shape and prepared for all the different types of missions that you
might
be
going on.
That's
right. Your ass better be in shape. That's what they said.
Right. And so you're the team guys are constantly having to problem solve in terms of like, what kind of shape do you want to be in? Because like being a good runner, so you're going to make sacrifices in terms of like your strength, with weights and things like that. You start swimming a lot, your running goes down. So like you can't really maintain super high proficiency with everything at the same time. So there's kind of like, that's one of the main problems I think with our selection. We're trying to prepare people to be good at everything or to like learn everything really fast. And then once you're on a team, you're trying to do that for yourself. So, and that's super difficult because you really like, I think you tend to only get good at the things you do and things that don't do. You detrain super fast.
Absolutely. That's why we rotate in and out. And but you're looking for a baseline just so they can pick something up. Yes. Even if like our guys would fail certain things or they would be not up to standards, probably because they didn't even see it, or if they had any kind of communication with it, they had a bad habit. So yeah, I mean, you have to go back and break all that. I mean, you said that right. And you know what did that to us? War. I mean, they got our asses out of the gym, sent us to some foreign country. We had to figure out a way to stay in shape, and they learned how to streamline it, kind of what worked. And then when we got back, we talked. I mean, we were together, me, you, the PJs would be there. You'd have some Marines in. I mean, all of us in one house, kind of doing one thing. No one wore uniforms. And I had no idea that we were in different branches. We're a hodgepodge of a gypsy camp of dudes thrown together to go fight. And then because of that, we learned how to work out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. In a certain very Spartan environment, without access to a lot of things.
Just the things that guys would come up with over there, just the gym ideas and how to work out, just especially the Marines, man, they would come up with some ways to work out over there with building gyms. The funniest thing you've ever seen, man. I mean, you would talk about some Marine engineering. That's awesome.
You have to adapt and you learn to do more with less, I guess, in that environment. I mean, I think one of the big problems was basically like, how do you generally prepare people for all situations when adaptation tends to be very specific?
Yeah.
Right. So for me, like after I got out of the military, once I got off a team, I was on a team, then I was an instructor, but you still have that camaraderie, that sense of purpose. When I got out of the military in 2005, I really missed that. I mean, it was pretty hard for me not having that team because I didn't have like siblings or strong family connections.
That's the worst thing that happens to us when they separate us.
Yeah, it can be really hard for sure. And again, just getting back to fundamentals, but family and community is obviously part of that. But with that said, I mean, one of the things that really helped me out was I started boxing and doing Muay Thai. And then I started going to Thailand to train at the camps with like the little kids that are between the ages of 8 to 24. You got 16-year-olds with like 200 fights.
Right. Yeah. Right. No kidding.
Yeah.
Badasses, I mean, right over there, man. Cool.
I mean, they're training 40 hours a week. Oh. It's like 4 hours. It's 3 to 4 hours twice a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah, that's a job for them.
It's a real job. Yeah, that's what pays for the school a lot of times.
Yep.
But yeah, so I mean, but training with the Thais was another eye opener where I was in good shape. I was strong in terms of like calisthenics and lifting weights. But then you tie up with these guys in the clinch, right? Which is like that upright wrestling that they do. And I remember they had a 16-year-old in the middle of the ring preparing for a fight at Lumpini, which is a big stadium. And there was like four of us foreigners that we all outweighed him by probably 30 pounds or more. And we could not get him down to the ground once. So basically he would throw one of us down to the ground and then the next guy would jump in. And he would do that for 45 minutes at the end of his workout. But the kid probably couldn't bench his body weight.
All right. Different kind of strength.
Yeah. But that made me realize how specific adaptation is. So
that's environmental adaptation. Is it fair to say?
Yeah,
that?
It's like
environmental adaptation. It's like with us, it had to be specialized because we had two wars. I mean, you're talking about mountains and the city, and then you had everything in between, the skirmishes everywhere. Guys were going in all different directions. So, I mean, each one of us had to be, specialized. But if they leave us in one environment for more than a couple months, sure, we're going to get really good at that. And something else is going to go by the way. It's not that we don't know how to do it. You just got to knock the dust off of it kind of deal.
Right. I mean, I guess for me, the question was, like, how do you generally prepare people? Because everybody's heard of general physical preparation.
Yeah.
Like, how do you generally prepare people for all situations without a whole bunch of wasted energy?
That's right. That's tough.
Like, if adaptation is specific, how do my functional exercise programs generally prepare you for everything?
Right.
And for me, that was kind of like a real problem. When my first book, You Are Your Own Gym, published, I got super lucky. It sold like a million copies in Germany.
Congratulations.
And people are calling me this like functional training expert on the radio and stuff. And I was like, Mark, like, if you're really honest with yourself, like, what do you really know about fitness? Except that like exercise doesn't really convert to improve performance all that well. Right. So that was like a real dilemma for me. And so I was kind of working on that problem and for years, and I'm still working on that problem so that we can basically get the most out of exercise in terms of general preparation. And the answer was simple. It's really just that it's about fundamentals, right? Like the basics, the fundamentals are the things that are always getting used. And if your fundamentals are super strong, then it's much easier.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's much easier for you to specialize.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The base. You set up the base. I mean, it's almost the best way I've heard that explained is if you got the army, right? And then you got specialized programs in there. Like when our guys would come back, you could tell who just got back from a deployment and who hadn't been on one in a while. And I mean, with the names of the guys, when they would walk in the door, they were built different. I mean, they exercise different. That's how we had to break it down with about people-wise is to have one group specialized in every single one of those departments, you're not going to have a lot of them. That's why our groups, like CCT especially, PJs, SEALs, I mean, those small unit tactics, so you can get an eye on all of them. And they're the course just to get us in that program. There's so much, man, you got the answer to that one, bro. You'd save the American people.
No, I mean, so the thing is, it's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to talk about. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, so I would say though, the thing that like, what's the common denominator needed for all those different situations, right? And I think it's locomotion. It's basically like your ability to get from point A to point B. If you think about all the different infiltration techniques that you need to be proficient in, whether it's overland, fast rope, finning, underwater, et cetera. Like basically like one of the main things that you need as a special ops guy and as a regular person as well, you need to be really good at getting from point A to point B, locomotion. And I think a good exercise program focuses on making you good at, it sounds kind of crazy, but I think it's like getting up and down off the ground and basically getting from point A to point B. So a good exercise program should make you better at walking, running, sprinting, and things like climbing.
You made me think of something when you said something. Confidence goes into that. So imagine like all our training scenarios are running through that is actually the exercise in itself. And so do you actually get stronger or does your confidence get better? Right. And then because when your confidence is up, you see these guys doing these crazy maneuvers. And then if you take a break from it for about 3 months, it goes away for whatever reason. I mean, it's kind of like your body and your mind aren't synced back up. Because you'll run into those guys who are like, oh, I used to bench 500 pounds. I hadn't worked out in 2 years. I can still do it. Well, so much changes in between that. And if you could pinpoint, like, okay, so what is that exactly? Is it your confidence has gone away? Is it you're focused on something else? Your mind and your body, they should line back up. Because the minute you figure out that you can, that not only have you done it, you can do it again. It's like walking. The minute when you fall down, you get back up. You know that part, you got it down. And if you could just keep stacking that, it's tough. You're right.
I mean, I would say confidence and actual strength. I mean, they probably go hand in hand. But I would say a big part of being confident is really having strong fundamentals. Because again, those are the things needed for all situations. Sure. So if you think about like missing certain fundamentals, like I define basically like the basics of fitness. You got posture, you got joint functions, and you got weight shifting. I think those are the first three, because those are the things that are always being used. And as an example, like if certain joint functions are missing, like internal hip rotation or external shoulder rotation, and now you're trying to learn some new movement, like for jiu-jitsu or for throwing or whatever it is, you can't get into the right positions because you're missing certain joint functions. But yeah, and I would say additionally, like, getting up and down off the ground, like you were saying, it's, those are the things that you learn first in life as a toddler and a little kid, right? It was all about like getting up and down off the ground and getting from point A to point B. So, and I think like, I kind of use that as part of my argument to say that like, these are the basics of fitness or athletic ability.
Sure. Every day starts with it. I mean, you can't fundamentally make it any better than that. The only thing you could add to it is laying down. How about you still got to pick yourself up and get from point A to point B? Whatever you put in front of that is your weight. You can't break it down any.
I got a loaded question for you, Mark. So there's a lot of people out there that feel like, you know, they're too far gone in their fitness journey, or maybe they're super overweight, or maybe they have a disability, maybe they're older, that feel like they just can't anymore. Like, and I think that's so with you kind of talking about these fundamentals of getting up and down and getting from point A to B, I feel like those are the things that you see most people that are in those situations struggling with. Getting up, walking upstairs, all that. What would you say are like the top three exercises? Like if you were picking out three individual exercises that someone could just start with, what would those three be?
Okay. I mean, first of all, I think you're spot on in your assessment there in terms of people that are pretty far gone. What are they struggling with? I mean, they're struggling from getting from place to place. And again, I would just say like the athletic skills that we learn first in life, like those are the skills that we lose later in life. And that's when life really becomes hard. I think the basics of athletic ability can be found in largely in your ability to get up and down off the ground.
And start with that. Like, start with that.
So, right. Like when you get older, like you start to realize like, it's kind of hard to get up and down off the ground, and you kind of become a little bit less secure in the things you do. Cause you start worrying about falling. If you're on a slippery surface. And I think anybody over 40 or 50 knows what I'm talking about. You become a little less sure on your feet. And I think it has a lot to do with your ability to control the transitions between lying, kneeling, and standing positions. So I would say like a really basic thing to do, and I was doing it today basically as a cool down. I go from a back line position and I roll and transition to like a crawling, a single kneeling, and then a standing position. And then I do it backwards and I do it on both sides. So just getting up and down off the ground like that is a really wonderful thing to do. And if you have older people in your life that are struggling with walking and things like that, that's a really good way to make them more secure on their feet.
Sure.
So
it all starts there.
It all starts on our back.
First steps, man. First thing you got to do is pick yourself up. Don't do push-ups. Don't do anything like that. Just sit down, pick yourself up. Lay down, pick yourself up. And I mean, if you get your ass whipped that bad. And don't look at it like you've gone so far into a direction you can't come back from. Just like, you've gotten really good at this direction. and you got to your destination and you're looking for something else to do, well, you got to start by walking in the other direction. To start by walking in the direction, you got to start by picking yourself up and putting yourself back down. You know, break it down to your basics. I was talking to a guy the other day. He stopped me just I was walking out of this building. He's like, how do you, what'd you do to get your mind back to where you needed to be? I was like, there's a lot that goes into it, really. But I also started, I went back and started watching the movies that built me. Like, it's like bringing the people back around from my childhood that molded me into my mental game, my physical game. Just those old movies and old books, I just reread them, and it sparked that flame that it did in the beginning. It was still in there. It had just been, you know, shadowed down or blown out or whatever you want to call it. But I that was one of the things I did. I always surrounded myself with the people who motivated me.
With fitness, I kind of apply sort of backwards planning to it. And I think fitness is really, it's about survival. Basically, like, fitness is your ability to survive,
sure,
which depends on your ability to problem solve, especially like essential problems. And like the one problem that you always have to solve for everything else is locomotion, your ability to get from point A to point B and to do it efficiently and safely. So, I mean, I guess to get back to that, answering that question, like the top three exercises, I mean, breaking it down to single exercises is really hard because, but I would say the first three things that people should do is basically in different lying positions where it's easy, reestablish basic joint functions for the hips, spine, and shoulders.
So what, like, and crawling?
You can do crawling positions as well. Yeah. But my exercise programs at Mark Lorne On Demand, basically, like, you're talking about people that feel like they're too far gone to ever like get their fitness back. And I think it's the key there is to find the right entry point, like take it all the way back to the start. Yeah. So what I have to do is starting out in a back lying position, doing really super easy movements to cover all the joint functions for the hips, spine, and shoulders. And I'm talking like just reaching to the side, reaching over their head, maybe like rolling their knees left, rolling their knees right. So you have spinal rotation, you have shoulder flexion, extension, internal rotation, external rotation. So in these different lying positions, like back lying, side lying, front lying, and you can do crawling, you have these really simple exercises to allow people to regain these basic joint functions.
Like a child, like somebody being reborn again. That's the first thing kids do. Man, they're just reaching everywhere
trying to
get that.
That I copy, exactly. And then from there, I'll progress them to exercises in a crawling position and like single kneeling positions. And at that point, you start integrating things like weight shifting.
Yeah.
Right? So it's another basic thing. Like everything you do involves joint functions, obviously. And then every step you do involves a lateral weight shift. If you throw a punch, there's a lateral weight shift. If you throw a ball, there's a lateral weight shift. So getting good at controlling like side to side rhythmic weight shifting is super applicable to everything you do. So I'm really trying to like isolate these basic functions and improve these basic functions that are always getting used so that people's training is just as efficient as possible. So you get the most for the least in terms of carryover and actual performance.
No, that's brilliant. I mean, it's logical too. I mean, when you break it down, if you get hurt or get to a point and someone pulls you into the gym and starts throwing weight all year, it's like, hey, man, start from the beginning. Just like you came in here, like rolling around on your back a little bit. If you can get over there, that'll build a muscle and that will tighten up those hips and everything. Sure. Absolutely.
Well, I think things like lifting weights should be built on those fundamentals because, I mean, so I like to lift weights and I like to do a lot of things like swing a kettlebell and stuff like that, pull a sled. But it has to be built on a foundation of solid athletic fundamentals. And I think we don't really ask what are those athletic fundamentals. Those are the essentials. And I think fitness is still a really sort of wishy-washy sort of subject that's sort of convoluted in terms of like, what is it that people actually need?
Oh, it's like an ocean. Man, there's so much stuff out there. It's like, how do you get to this? And that's right. There's so much knowledge out there. It's almost like somebody needs to redo the Arnold's encyclopedia.
I mean, the pendulum swung from one extreme
to the other, right?
we were kids to the opposite extreme. I mean, now there's so much information and so much of it contradicts. There's so much contradicting information. It's really sort of difficult to sort through all that. And yeah, again, like, so my solutions to that have just been basically sort of backwards planning, trying to clearly define like what is fitness. And I think it's about survival and problem solving. And then finding the common denominator so that we get the most for the least, which is about, it's about the fundamentals and basics.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In your environment. I'm like, you don't need to be in this kind of shape to live in that environment. I get that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for like.
It won't naturally let that happen. Like, you have to go above and beyond. And that's how you can tell a lot of people what they do for a living. By their environment and everything, and how they look, because it molds that. Like with us in our environment, it kept shifting. So our bodies would shift between this massive He-Man looking thing to a slender G.I. Joe our whole lives till we got out. Even after we got out.
Well, absolutely. And that, I think that experience for me really helped to shape my opinion, because I was able to see how I perform different situations with different types of, let's say, like fitness.
Right.
Like I remember getting really strong and being super happy about like the weights I can lift, and then doing a monster mash, right? Which at Hurlburt Field was basically like an obstacle course that we put together, and I was sucking. You know, and there's these little skinny runners that are like crushing me.
Oh yeah, like gazelles, man. They just fly through. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is when people get disappointed when they get their ass kicked by something that's a completely different species than they are. Like, man, if you're not a runner and somebody comes running past you, don't get upset.
I think as an operator, and if you're not good at getting from point A to point B, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle on the mission, because you're going to need to, like, you're going to be sliding down ropes. You're going to be climbing up cave and ladders. You're going to be doing an overland. I mean, unless it's like something really quick, you're jumping out of the back of a helicopter and like hitting up a building or something. But if there's anything longer than that, I think a lot of times, like, just being really big and strong is not enough. Like, you have to be good at getting from point A to point B.
Sure. I mean, we got them guys. We got all types. That was one of the things that that our generation had to go through, that what it spit out. I'm like, it's almost like when someone refers to, hey man, show them the goods. And when people hear that, they automatically think materialistic things. Like with us, when someone's like, hey man, show them the goods. And that means like what's inside that joker. Like when he starts to go into work, like when he starts to teach people how to work out, you can see that there's something different inside of him that no one else has, just by the way he articulates his words. And then you'd have one of our guys, man, they can work out, but they can't speak that. They couldn't tell somebody how to do it. They don't understand the fundamental part. They just see through different eyes. It just makes them different. Don't make them a bad person or anything. And they're just, man, some of us are designed for different things, for sure.
Yeah. They probably just don't have as much time on their hands as me.
That's right.
Like, who takes the time to think about
these
things?
Who the hell thinks of that? Right, exactly. Yeah, man.
Seriously. So I think like my advantage in a sense, like partly my advantage came from, I mean, one, I had a unique set of experiences as an operator and then a trainer at various schools and then coming out and Thai boxing, blah, blah, blah. But part of it now is also that I really got lucky with the timing of my first book. Sold a million copies and published more books. So I had good passive income for quite a while. And I had lots of feedback from users, but and I kind of had that problem where like I kind of knew that I didn't really know. But yeah, I've had a lot of time and to think about these things and try to like clearly define them.
Yeah, reflection. I mean, receive, reflect, respond. I mean, you got thrown into it. Her life, that's completely different. And I was going to ask you this. I ask a lot of my buddies this. It's like, hey, when we were operating is one thing. And I never had a chance to come back and be an instructor. I bypassed that one. But most of the guys who came back, you kind of, even if you didn't want to do it, doing it changed everything. Because if you can teach the guys how to do it, then that's how you know it. I mean, putting something in your head is one thing. It works for you. But if you can spit it out and all the other guys can be like, I got that. It's logic. Like, you've been, the whole time we've been in here, logically, I follow you. I'm following you.
I mean, absolutely. And that was a big part of me putting these ideas together. Well, first of all, I guess I didn't want to be a fraud. I didn't want to be out there telling people I'm an expert when I didn't really know, again, because I felt like exercise doesn't work that well. It's like an inefficient process for improving overall performance and injury resistance. So I really went to work on that problem, and I got really lucky with one of the guys that I met and that trained me a bit, Rafael Ruiz, and he was a strength and conditioning coach for collegiate and professional teams. He was Anthony Tarver's strength and conditioning coach when he became world champion. He was a strength and conditioning coach at the U.S. Olympic swim team. And he kind of put me on the right track when he overheard. So I had actually, what was that? Eastbound. What was the name of that show?
Eastbound and Down.
About the washed up baseball player.
Eastbound and Down.
Let's see, what again?
Eastbound and Down.
Yes. And there was a line in there that I absolutely loved because all the CrossFit stuff was getting really popular. His ex-girlfriend is there and her current boyfriend's there. He's like a triathlete. And he says, oh, hey, you know, you're the baseball star. I'm a little bit like you, right? Like I'm a triathlete. And he's like, no, we're not the same. Like I'm a real athlete with God-given talent. I'm not trying to be the best at exercising, right? I'm not trying to be the best at exercising.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And yeah. I was like, I loved it. I'm not trying to be the best at exercising because exercise tends to make you good at exercise and not much else.
Yeah.
But the guy, Raphael, kind of, he overheard that. And when I was training with him the next time, he said, you know, the thing that will really improve overall performance is improved joint alignment. So if you get people into better joint alignment, they're going to perform better because that's what you need for everything.
Yeah.
Like you have to get into the right positions.
You said something earlier. I hadn't thought about it the way you explained it. So there's a difference between performance and exercise health. Like, well, in the military, we have to do performance types, like upstairs, down a row. And then there's getting your body, working your breath out and exercising fundamentally. Absolutely. And if you train a person the wrong way in that, it doesn't do what it's supposed to, for sure. Yeah.
I think, I mean, one of the problems in the military that I think continues to be a problem, and it's probably still not addressed. I know they have a lot of strength and conditioning coaches, and I know the Navy was really kind of like at the tip of that as far as like getting good, real athletic trainers to train you guys during your training. And I think even like at the team level.
Yeah.
But I think one of the problems too is that the standards for the trainees are things like push-ups, sit-ups, flutter kicks. Pull-ups are pretty useful. And you know, they're basically like, so you're spending a lot of time and energy getting these guys good at something that isn't really useful. I mean, so push-ups are great and everything, but they don't really make you good at being an operator. Like I feel like the main thing you need to be good at is you need to have a pack on your back and you need to be able to hump it out. You need to be able to climb, get up and down off the ground, with a pack on. So, I mean, when I was an instructor in the Air Force, I think that was one of the problems is that the PT standards aren't really an accurate reflection of the actual needs of an operator.
Oh, no. That happened to us on all fronts. I remember showing up to Iraq with a Vietnam flak jacket on one time. I mean, you know, everything we thought we had trained for. Remember the shakeout patrols when we'd first go into country? You had to get out there with your body armor and your rifle and the new theater, and you would talk about a kick in the shorts, man. I mean, literally, the only way you can get good at something is get in there and just do it. You know, I mean, just freaking do it.
What you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're one of those kind of guys, like if you want to learn a language, some people can read it from a book and do it, or some of us have to go road test it. I mean, just put their asses in there and let them do it, man. For sure.
How did your early years in Thailand like influence the way you train now and the way you teach now?
So it was about, I was training at Thai boxing camps, and anybody that's familiar with Muay Thai knows that they keep it simple, right? There's not a lot of flowery movements in there. It's not like Kung Fu or anything like that. It's basic and it's simple. And they really achieve sort of amazing heights by drilling these basic movements with mind-numbing repetition. And everybody knows, like in MMA, for example, like Muay Thai is very effective. So
that's not for debate, is it? I've never heard it up for debate. I hope it's not.
I don't think it's up for debate. Oh,
okay.
Right?
I mean, I don't even think that's up for debate.
Exactly. So one of the main things that I saw there is the value of drilling fundamentals with mind-numbing repetition. And the value of keeping it simple, basically, like what's the most effective, and you know, figure that out. Like what are the essentials, and then get rid of everything else, and then just drill those things until you reach really high levels of proficiency. I would say that was one of the main things that I saw, and of course, also it made me realize how much proficiency is dependent on repetition. Right, it's not necessarily intensity; it's repetition. So, and I would say that's definitely reflected in my training now. Again, like I'm talking about, like what are the basics, the fundamentals, which are the essentials, and how to create sort of logical skill based progressions that we just drill with repetition.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps you healthy.
Yeah, and training. I mean, thousands of times, just going through the motions before we'd actually let us go out there and do it. Almost as if you're building the pattern in your brain with the numbers, or there's a shell that comes on you, however you want to do it, ropes tied to you. So when that thought comes into your head, your body automatically does it. And I think that's why we get so proficient at walking. And there's a couple of things that we do. That every morning when you get up and you get after it, the body gets so good at it that it's just common. You can train that into your body.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really big and a very important part of training is the way we a basic understanding of how we adapt and learn and basically how we habitualize behavior, right? So really an important part of a good exercise program is to ingrain good habits.
Yeah.
So like it's about maintaining good joint alignment. And for example, like what is like being able to maintain good posture, and so that you do it automatically and you're not like, it doesn't feel awkward when you do it. I was just saying like, so the repetition is one of those things, like when you first start doing something, it feels awkward, it feels weird. With enough repetition, it starts to become automatic and it becomes a habit, right? And you start out with very simple things and gradually increase the complexity of what you're teaching.
And I think it's important to say, and to correct me, I mean, add to this or take away from it, please. It happens. You get into this repetitive motion where the body will start doing it. And then there's little cues in there that'll show up like, okay, wait, straighten your posture up. I mean, throughout the day. And you can get away from it. People are like, hey, is there a point to where I have to stop thinking about it? No. I mean, it's like you got to practice. You got to stay with it, because if you shift your focus to something else and solely concentrate on that, your mind and body will get rid of it and go and throw it somewhere else to make room for it. Just put whatever's in front. It's not that it's not in there. It is. But like, yeah, it's like showing it respect. Like, hey man, every now and again, pay attention to it. Like talk to it, send a text message, whatever you want to call it. But if you don't, it'll go away.
For sure. I mean, you know, I live in Thailand, which is a Buddhist culture. And they're always talking about mindfulness. You know, it's basically just paying attention, like paying attention to how you behave, paying attention to how you interact with other people. And like I said, like a big part of our behavior is our habits, like, and a lot of our behavior is automatic because of incredible repetition. But I think, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Like we have to pay attention to the automatic stuff, so that we don't get stuck.
Oh yeah.
You know, we can continue to evolve, we can continue to learn and adapt.
Right. Have you ever walked across a human and they, just like he said, a moment will make them react a certain way, be like, damn, how long you've been training to have that kind of reaction? Like, where'd you grow up for that to come out of you? Because if that wasn't the thing, we'd all react the same way, no matter where you grew up. Right. I mean, that's how you know this place is different, and so are we. So be mindful that when you walk in, you never know what you're going to run into out there. And that's why discipline's so important. Like, go, if you lead with that, like, respect, people can pick that up, especially guys who are highly trained. Like, if you go in with an attitude and bad intentions, man, we'll feel you before you even show up. That's a real thing, especially guys who have been heightened in combat all the time, man. That never goes away. So that's why we always say, hey, man, just go in there. Looking for one. I mean, always be ready for something, but just go in with us, like, go in to learn with an open mind and a good attitude. So,
absolutely. I mean, I think so. In terms of fundamentals, again, like, you're talking to a guy with a lot of time on his hands, and I probably have like some unique interests, and I don't really watch much TV. But I think it really starts with let's clearly define fundamentals regarding human movement. I think it starts with attention. Like, the first thing we have is attention. And it's the first thing that you had before you were even born, right? I would imagine. And then the next thing is breathing. So you have attention. You basically have control of attention. You have control of breathing. You have posture, individual joint functions, and then putting that together for rhythmic side-to-side weight shifting. Being able to pay attention to what you're doing and then change based on your environment, like you said, is key to being able to adapt and learn, which is what an operator obviously always needs. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can teach anybody to do, for the most part, like, the things that are needed in most selection courses.
Yeah.
What you can't do is teach it in the timeline.
Yeah.
That's given, with all the extra added stress.
Stuff, yeah. And the only reason we do that is because we want to see what happens when you get under stress. Because that's kind of the whole point, for sure. Yeah, that's a brilliant way of saying that. And no one knows what to think. Even if you have an idea, when you come in there and you're around everybody and it starts going, it's crazy. I mean, the reflection time we've had now, I can tell you've had a lot of time to think about all this stuff that we went through, because just the way you explain it, you can always tell somebody who's thought about something, even if they get put on the moment, on the spot. If they'll throw something out that they're like, hey, man, not only that guy been through that and reacted probably differently. That's the thing. As we grow older, I was like, man, I would have reacted differently. I did react differently to that situation. And just to say that out loud knows that you're growing, that you've aged. Mm-hmm. Like, man, back in my ghetto days, I'd have torn you up, man. But then you grow older and you get to the instructor phase, and it's just the point where I can understand why some people get upset at certain ages. That's part of this, man. It's all designed to teach you something. But always go back to your basics. I never knew how important breathing was, and they taught me about it my whole life. They never really put too much, like, pay attention to that breathing part, because we do it automatically. But you're right. You can also control it.
Right.
And once you learn how to, no one exercises their breath. That's actually why you go into the gym, why you run, why you get excited, is to get that breath going. So if you take time to actually train that sucker, I know no one ever told me that.
I guess you learn that maybe as an operator or as an athlete.
Running to people like you, who's like, hey, I get your physical part and your mental part, but have you ever checked this part out? And it made so much sense to me that I was like, the first thing you do when you check on board down here is get your breath. I was like, how have you been exercising that thing? Do you pay attention to it? And once they logically talked to me like that, I was like, okay.
I mean, we're talking about self-control and things like that, but, you know, self-control is like a really sort of interesting subject, because, like, what is it that I really have control over? Like, I don't have perfect control over my behavior. I talk about efficiency and stuff like that, but come on, like, we all have our things.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Stuff. For sure.
Like, do I have control over my emotions? I mean, to some degree, yeah, I can influence them in my thoughts, but, like, so I think, like, getting greater control over things like your attention, like, what are you putting your attention on, and controlling your breathing, that does a lot to influence your feelings. I think, like, I was doing some breathing exercise before I came on with you guys, and it helped. So it's just one of those things that you can sort of, like, gain better control over yourself.
I do it every morning.
That's really what it's about. Like, joint functions, posture, it's self-control on a basic level.
A lot of that's scenario based. The thing with us, when we send us overseas out of our environments, you every scenario, I mean, you get thrown into so many different scenarios that your breath reacts off of it. The first time you ever get into anything, you'll react like a child, kind of labored breathing, you know, you cry, you know, whatever. But the more time you actually spend with your breath in the environment, the smoother it gets, right? And the first person to lose a fight, the first person to lose anything is the first person to lose their breath. They get flustered and frustrated. And when they talked to me like that, I was like, all right, oh, you got my attention now, man. And he goes, you hear mind, body, and spirit all the time. We've always heard that. And like some people are born into this world are body people. We happen to be like that. I mean, you can tell when someone walks in just by looking at you. And you're not born with that. I mean, you had to put work in to get in that. That's discipline. That ought to tell you something immediately. And then there's some people who all they do is go to school and read. They're all mind people. They don't go to the gym. And then we have the spirits down here. They wear beads and crystals, and they don't go to the gym. Man, but if you ever run across somebody who trains all three of them, knowing what happens to your body when you do the gym route, and knowing what happens to your mind when you go to school. Now, you and I both know what happens when you train your spirit. And when all three of those start working together, and then you get into the scenarios to work those, man, that's a different world we're talking about. And that's why age is rank. And the missing part for me was my breath control. And I practice it every day now. It's actually, I spend more time doing that than I do in the gym or anything else.
You mean kind of like almost like a sitting meditation?
Both. Yeah, first thing in the morning.
I don't like using the word meditation.
I don't use that.
It becomes weird. A lot of people do different things, but
I'm not knocking that word by any means, but I do it the same, probably talking about the same way you are. I mean, there's different breaths for different motions, and I train those for the scenario.
That's awesome. I mean, so the way I explain the value of, I don't usually use the word meditation because it's somewhat, convoluted in terms of meaning, but, when I sit, you know, I say sit, and I'm sitting on the floor, usually on a cushion. I think it has tremendous value because when I'm sitting there with my hips close to the ground, like what's it improving? It's improving my posture because I have to lift my chest to sit on the ground. And then I'm paying attention to my breathing. So it gives me greater control over my attention. And you can move your attention around like you can move anything else around. Like I can move the attention from my left ear down to my right toe. Your attention can be moved around, and learning to control your attention, by focusing on your breath, for example, it's powerful because those are things that get used for everything.
Everything.
So like you're using, you know, you spend 10 minutes a day to improve something that affects everything you do throughout the rest of the day. And it's powerful.
When they explain that to me as well, like, all right, when you start concentrating on your breathing, all right, now, well, what do you do? All right, well, you focus on that little toe. Can you feel it? Do you know it's there? Okay, yeah. That's how you do it. They're like, now go to the next one. See if you can wiggle it without, and see if you can just go through and activate your body. That's what we're talking about.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, no one ever hit me with that kind of analogy, I guess, is a bit, because you and I use different words to describe some things, and I get that. It's just kind of where we come from. You and I speak the same language, though. Even if you throw some slang out, I'll get what you're saying. I mean, I can track you. That's a blessing you and I have. Most people don't have that. So, like, they'll hear something, and if they don't understand it, it'll shut them down. Sometimes it'll piss them off, which is worse.
Right, especially if they feel like it contradicts something that they believe.
Yeah, that's completely right. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that common ground is definitely important. And I try not to get off on a tangent, honestly, when I'm talking about stuff that, like, you know, I'm really into it.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man. I can go down those rabbit holes. I was like, because there is a point in there, but to get to it is you got to keep so much information in there. Stuff for sure.
Speaking of control and breath work. Yeah, there's a little note about you in here. It says you hold the world record or the military record for your underwater swimming. Is this still true?
Is that kicking out?
Military record. The Pararescue Combat Control Indoctrination course, which is now just the Pararescue Indoctrination course, had a record board. And it had a record board for various events. Basically, all the evaluation criteria, such as push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, the different runs, like 3 mile, 3.5, 4 mile, all the way to 6 mile run. And then they had an underwater record. Which when I went there, and this was back in 97, I went to the Pararescue Combat Control Indoctrination course. The underwater record at that time was 117 meters. And that's basically just swimming back and forth underwater in a pool.
Okay, this is written wrong. This is written down here wrong. So you're kicking out. That's pretty amazing. That's a good one. You at 223 yards?
No. I think the world record is 223 yards or something like that.
I was about to say, man, that's good stuff.
I said I'm 133.
That's still a lot.
It was two minutes and 23 minutes of swimming.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
Underwater.
Yeah. All right, man. So how can people follow you to keep in touch with you? What do we need to do to let everybody?
So as far as I have a website, marklauren.com. I've just published a new book called Strong and Lean, which is about, it's basically 9-minute workouts. They're 9-minute circuits where you do three exercises. You do three rounds with three exercises. And so you get very comprehensive, complete workouts that develop your whole body, that focus on athletic fundamentals, build you up gradually, step by step, and then really get into some like pretty serious strength training using bodyweight exercises. So these are comprehensive exercise programs. You can find all my books at Amazon.com and any major bookseller. So my website, marklauren.com. I have Instagram, Marklauren Training. And I would say that's the main thing. My website and maybe Instagram. I got like 500,000 people on Facebook, but I'm not really that much of a social media guy, to be honest. I do because I have to.
Roger that. We'll make sure we put it out there, though, brother. All right, man. Hey, yeah. Through all this, if you can leave our listeners with something, we don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think general health and well-being, it really depends on doing basic things really well. A lot of times when we're thinking about fitness, we're thinking about a lot of things like, you know, bodybuilding and doing backflips and doing handstand pushups or whatever. That's not what you need to be strong and to be healthy in real life. And it doesn't really take that much time and effort. So especially if you're a beginner or even at an intermediate level, if you're doing the right things, you don't really need to spend a ton of time and energy training in order to feel good, to move well and be healthy. And that's what my programs are about. But I think one of the main things that keep people from really getting fit, honestly, is doing too much, especially in the beginning. And what happens when you do too much, you end up not doing enough because you become inconsistent. Like you start off.
Yeah, and burn out. Sore.
Yeah. With all that time and energy, you do it for a week, then you're like, you know what, forget this. And then you stop. So if you can just do something small that's meaningful and useful and then build on that, that's the way to go. Start small and progress gradually.
Great advice. Great advice.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, man. Thanks again for doing this.
Hey, it's a real honor, man. We're glad to see your success with this podcast. Pretty amazing.
I appreciate that, man. Right, thanks for stepping up, stepping in there and doing all that. And nothing but continued success for you, bro. Seriously, because just to hear you talk, the reflection part, and that phase repeats itself. So once you go back in now with all what the knowledge, it'll keep growing. And everything you said is on point, man. The breaking it down to the basics. I love that part. My mother lives down the road and she's dealing with walking too. The basics. Like, hey, man, just stand up, sit back, just do that for a little bit. Then we'll work about something else. That's perfect. So thank you for the wisdom. That's what it was. And be safe. Great holidays, bro. If you need anything, keep in touch.
Okay. Bless you all.
You too, man. God bless.
Thanks, Mark. Cheers. Thank you.